Let's see, when did you first come to this church? Or did you? No, your dad was long ago. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you're born in the U.S., et cetera, et cetera.
Well, we were born in, I was born in Syria, but we came here when I was 7, and then we moved up to the York area in 2004. So that's when we officially were in this area.
Okay, okay, yeah. So you've been around a while.
Yes, yes.
And then you got acquainted with people in our church mm-hmm. as a child then, right? Or as a teenager? Or?
Yeah, it was the young adult years when we had Fridays to Rest back in like 2013, 2014 was when I started coming. So
okay,
yeah.
Okay. Yep. So they're well acquainted, yes. Friends and yes. All of this. And then last fall, then we prayed for you as you went mm-hmm. off to Bolivia.
Yeah.
And I'll let you tell the story from
Thank
there.
You.
So welcome back and yep. Eager to hear what God has done and is doing.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Well, first of all, I just want to say a huge, huge thank you to all of you. I remember being here around this time last year, actually, when I was first, taking off to go to Bolivia for a whole full year of school. And for those of you that might not know my story, God called me to become a missionary down in Santa Cruz, Bolivia, about 2 years ago. And I work at the Santa Cruz Christian Learning Center, which was originally established in the 70s for missionary kids, but then over the years, it grew and grew into becoming a school for missionary kids and just also nationals from Bolivia as well. And so we have students who have grown up in the Christian home and then also students who just happen to be sent to our school because their parents just really value education and want them to be in a good atmosphere. And so they might not know the Lord, but then they come to know the Lord through being a part of our school, which is really special and neat to see. So last year, I was, taking off to go to Bolivia for a whole, school year. And of course, there were a lot of things that happened that were very unexpected. And I'll just share briefly about one of those big, surprise moments for me and share a quick update about where we're at right now. So last year, in the month of October, we had presidential elections in Bolivia. And I won't get into too many details, but as a result of those elections, there were political strikes that happened all throughout the country. And it was a little unnerving to see what was going on. There were just blockades everywhere. You weren't allowed to go anywhere except by biking or by walking. A lot of missionaries were leaving the country because they just were not sure what the situation was going to be like, if there was going to be like a full-out war or what was going to happen. And I just remember being in that situation and just having so many what-ifs rolling through my mind. And at that time, too, our school closed down and we had to do everything online, similar to where we were at in the spring. But anyway, and so we were still doing our ministry, but at the same time, we were not sure what the state of Bolivia was going to be like and how safe it was going to be for us to stay there. And so I just remember all these what-ifs going through my mind as, for example, what if I'm supposed to evacuate the country? Should I pack up my bags right now and just be ready to do that? Or what if I end up leaving the country on my own initiative and then everything settles and I'm in the States when everything's in Bolivia? Or what if it comes time for me to leave the country, but the borders close down and I'm stuck and I'm in a, place of civil unrest, right? So there were just all these what-ifs going through my mind. And I just was not sure what to do about it. And in that moment, God really spoke to me. And he reminded me of a piece of advice from this book that I had read called Calm My Anxious Heart by Linda Dillo. And in that book, she challenges her readers to just go through the what ifs and just even think through what could the worst what if scenario be for me. And then in going through that, think about what that worst what if could possibly be, and then ask yourselves these questions. Ask yourself, can I trust God with my worst what if? Would God still be God? Would he still be sovereign? would he still be love and goodness? And the answer is yes. And so after just going through that again and just remembering again, you know what? God is good no matter where I am in this world. No matter what ends up happening, God will take care of me. And so that just gave my heart so much peace. And long story short, by the power of God and the power of prayer, the country was able to get back into some normalcy. And the protests turned out to just be peaceful protests. And people were on their knees in prayer in like the city areas of Bolivia. There were just rallies of people just praising and worshiping God. And so it was just beautiful to see so many people just turning their hearts back to God through that time. And only God could do what he did in just allowing everything to just be resolved in as peaceful of a way as it was. And so it turns out I did not have any need to really worry or fear anything. So I'm very thankful for that experience and what that showed me and just trusting God even with the worst what ifs. And again, of course, that did happen again this spring. And I know all of you have experiences as well with what ended up happening in March with, you know, the quarantine and all of that. So we did have to go through that again and shutting school down and going online. And we did finish the year online. But even in that, it was really cool to see, you know, God still sustaining us and the testimonies that we were able to present to the parents of our school. There were strikes that were happening again in Bolivia, except this was for strikes against the school systems. And parents were protesting and saying, we don't want to send our kids to online schooling. However, the parents of our school were different. And they said, no, we love this school. We love the mission of the school. We love the teachers. We love the staff. We can see that you guys are doing your best and we love what you're doing and we're going to keep sending our kids to this school. So that was also beautiful to see that in the midst, again, of just so much uncertainty and so much unrest, that our school could still be a light to those communities down there. So now I'm back in the States. I was back for the summer just to, you know, since the school year had ended. And starting tomorrow, we will start again with the new school year at Santa Cruz Christian Learning Center. We're going to do Teacher Orientation Week. Now, everything is going to be online. So the entire fall semester will be done online for our school in Bolivia. And given the situation, it does make sense. Actually, I'll just share this super quickly if that's okay. The government actually decided to close all schools down. Not even online schools could go on in Bolivia. So that's affected 2 million kids in Bolivia where they are not able to go to school. Our school is a little different though because we run on the American calendar. So we run from August to June instead of from February to November, which is what Bolivian schools run from. So because of that, our school did receive approval that we are still allowed to continue. So I'm very thankful for that, that we're still going to go on. But do pray for Bolivia because there is a lot of uncertainty going on right now. And, you know, they've been hit very hard financially in the healthcare. They're turning people away from hospitals right now because of how extreme things are. So if you do think about it, prayers for Bolivia would be super, super, super appreciated because they are going through a lot. But at the same time, it's also encouraging and exciting to see how the Lord is using establishments like the education system that our school has been able to establish and other missionaries that are down there to be able to just be a light and a hope and a source of encouragement to the people that are down there as well. I will be staying in the States for the first few months because there's a lot of travel restrictions right now, so I'll be in two worlds at once. So if you see me around, I'm still a missionary. I'm just a dislocated missionary right now. But I am, again, just looking forward to seeing how God uses this time for me to be in the States but still teaching my students in Bolivia, even if it is online. So thank you so much again for having me here, for all of your prayers and support and encouragement. I cannot thank you enough for just how encouraging you all have been to me. So thank you again.
Second, if you would, other requests that you have for prayer. And I'm going to ask those, well, who know Christine or who don't, to pray for her, and then I'll close in a minute, okay? I'll ask you to stand where you are. So are there requests that you have?
Sure, yes. I know with our school, even though we're doing things online, we are very intentional about wanting to make sure that our students feel that support from the teachers. So we're praying that we can still establish some sort of normalcy in being able to connect with the students one-on-one this time and being able to really check in on them and pray over them and just be a source of encouragement to them. So definitely for that. And just in general with Bolivia, there's civil unrest happening again. again, actually, right now. So just prayers for them would be great.
Okay, and how about for you? How
and can for we me, pray yeah, for you? Sure. Thank you. The ability to be able to focus on wherever I'm at. And because, yes, I am going to be kind of torn in two worlds at once in a way, yeah. But just being able to fully devote myself to the ministry that I have in Bolivia, even while I'm here.
And yeah. I should know this, but are you teaching in English or in Spanish?
I am teaching in English, yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Thanks for asking.
So, yeah. Why don't you come on here? Come on out. Okay, let's do this. Why don't you stand here in the middle of us, okay? Normally we'd lay hands on you or something, but we're going to reach out toward you, all right? We'll do cyber hands here or maybe spiritual hands. So reach toward her, and I'm going to invite anybody who'd like to just to stand where you are and pray for Christine, okay? And then I will conclude. So those of you who know her especially, pray away. Our Lord, we thank you that you care for the world. We thank you for protecting Christine, and thanks for giving her a flight home. I know that was a big deal a few months ago, and now for guiding her to staying at home. Our Lord, she, with all the distractions of just life around here, it's got to be tough, but you understand, and we pray that you would continue to gather her in your arms and care for her and guide her, Lord, as she navigates cultures. Use her in great ways. May she and the students be of great witness to you, Lord, in ways that they do not even understand or see yet. Guide the school, Lord, as they care for teachers and for students. Lord, may these who learn expand their minds as well as their hearts and their souls for you, Lord. And we pray that the life of Jesus would flow through Christine and others, teachers who know and love you, Lord, this time. Give her great balance, Lord, in her life at home. Help her to know when to call it a day. And Lord, we pray that through this time at home, you refresh her within and with her family and with friends. We thank you so much she can be nearby. And Lord, we just pray for your blessing upon her and on her life and ministry. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Yeah, and we are excited. Yeah, thank you. And again, if you want to give toward Christine's ministry, as has been mentioned, you can write on your check and stick it in a regular plate, which is at the back. That's where our regular offering is going. these days because of COVID, but then also there's a basket at her table and you can answer questions. She's got a wonderful mailing list and email that she sends out, and you can learn more about what she's doing. Or you could, I don't know if you meet for coffee from a distance or something these days, you can connect with her somewhere nearby. But please turn in the book of Jonah, chapter 4. And we are concluding our look at Jonah today. This is our fifth Sunday on Jonah. We've looked at the first four chapters, and then today we're looking at these important last few verses once again. And after this, we're going to move into the book of Judges. We've been looking at an unusual mission that God, an unexpected mission that God has called us on in the book of Jonah. Now we'll be looking at some unexpected heroes from the book of Judges, when there was a time of turmoil in Israel and God called his people. So we'll be looking at Deborah and Gideon and Samson and others over the next month and a half or so. And so I encourage you to start reading in the book of Judges, and we'll be considering that together. And then, I'm getting excited about this. I hope you are too. Then we're going to start in on the story. Now, how many of you picked up the story so far? A few of you? Okay. You can get these online. We're going to have a whole box of them come. They're $5 a piece. This is a hardback book, by the way. Okay. And it takes you through the Bible in 31 chapters. It's an abridged Bible. It's all words of the Bible in here, except for the places where it says, okay, now this happened and this happened and this happened. And some of you love genealogies, but you know, for most of us, it's like, okay, it's a quick jump through that. So anyway, you can look at this afterwards. We'll be getting some in. This will be at the end, toward the end of September, that we'll be doing that when we finish Judges. But then there's some other pieces, and there's a lot more there. There's a story for little ones. So this is also 31 chapters. Takes it through and tells it for the eyes and ears of a child. There's one for a little bit older children. There's one for youth. This is the one for student story for kids. This is more of a reading book for children. There's one for youth. There's guides for our community groups. There's guides for when we can get together with children and with youth, we can use those as well. But these storybooks are things that you could use at home for children. And those of us who are old enough to read can read this, or there's a youth edition as well, and all kinds of things. So we're looking forward to that. One of the reasons that we want to look at the story, not only to get acquainted with the big story and how everything fits together, but to me, one of the burdens that I have is that we learn to think and live Christianly. We're being bombarded with, as we've always have been, with everything from the outside. And this group and that group and this resource, you know, saying, think like this, act like this. The question that I want us to answer for really the entire, from end of September through May, is how can we live out God's story? Where do we intersect with God's story, which began in Genesis and ends in Revelation, but it's not done yet. We are still part of God's story. How do we fit into that? And so I want to encourage you, pick one up and begin to read it. It'd be basically a chapter a week. I did it last year. I loved it. And then consider being part of a community group. There's also devotionals. There's things you could do with a friend. There's things you can do with a family. There's DVDs that can be used. There's study guides. There's a gazillion things, ways to intersect your time and your schedule. That's coming up at the end of September. Next week, we move into Judges for about a month and a half. But today, we're still in Jonah. So why don't you stand and let's read this together. Jonah 4, verses 10 to 12. But the Lord said, you've been concerned about this plant, though you did not tend it or make it grow. It sprang up overnight and died overnight. And should I not have concern for the great city of Nineveh, in which there are more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right hand from their left, and also many animals? Let's pray together. Our Lord, as we acknowledge your presence this morning, we're grateful that you care about us. You even care about our cats and dogs, rabbits and other animals we have around. But Lord, you care about so much more than us. You care about an entire world that needs you. Lord, forgive us for just thinking about ourselves. Lord, open our hearts, open our minds to care about a needy world, a world far away and a world nearby that desperately needs you like we do. Lord, would you speak to us now by your Spirit as we consider your word and then as we gather around your table. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. So there's no doubt that we are concerned about our everyday lives, aren't we? We care about our families, we care about our health, we care about our livelihood, we care about our country and our neighborhood and our state and everything that's around us. And that's the way that Jonah was. He was thinking about himself, and you know the story at the end of, you know how Jonah, at the end of his book, how he was on the edge of the city, looking down, waiting for God to destroy Nineveh, which he hated, though they'd all turned to the Lord. And then a plant, the Lord sent a plant up to give him further shade. The Lord sent a worm to eat the plant. And then he was concerned. He was all mad because his shade wasn't as good as he waited for God to destroy the city of Nineveh below. And he forgot, as we do, that all of these good things that we have, health, safety, a place to worship, our homes, a nation where we can worship freely, all of these things, even knowing him at all, they are only here because of grace and mercy and the blessing and kindness of God, which the scriptures tell us are meant to draw us to repentance, to turn to him. We forget that these are all his gifts. That's the way it was for Jonah. That's the way it is for us. And when the Lord takes those things away from us, then we get mad. We would say today that we feel entitled, don't we? Oh, it's not our kids that feel entitled. No, we do too. And so this spring and summer, stuff that's normally ours, freedom to move about, freedom to go to a restaurant, freedom to watch a ball game, freedom to go to school. Kids, teachers, man, can you believe it? The kids are dying to get back to school. A bunch of teachers here. Still not? Okay. I've heard kids are looking to get back to school. You miss your friends. But the stuff that we take for granted is not here, and so we get mad. Why? Because we think we deserve them. And we don't. The Lord has some questions for us. He says, I got a bigger concern. He says, why shouldn't I care for 120,000 Ninevites? 120,000 people and their cattle who can't tell their right from their left. When we think of children, we think of, okay, so shake your right hand. And you say, no, your other right, don't we? Because they can't tell their right from their left. Time to tie their shoes. They can't do just basic things. Why? Because they're children and they're innocent and they'll learn eventually. But the Lord is saying to Jonah, and he said, they don't know their right from their left. They're like children. They're totally innocent. They're on the way to destruction. Even their animals are about to be destroyed. He says, shouldn't I care about them like I care for you and your silly plant? But then he says, why shouldn't I care for the people of Bolivia? I mean, there's 11 and a half million people in Bolivia. It's a country where there is some good gospel access, and we're grateful for that. And that's probably a good reason why there's a good school, Christian-based school, where Christine is teaching. We're grateful for that. But we say, well, we got our own problems here. We're wondering if we're even going to open our schools here. And the Lord says, yeah, I know you care about that. But aren't there 11 and a half million people in Bolivia who I created for my glory and my purposes, and I long and I care for them and love them as much as I love you? Why shouldn't I care for Bolivia as much as I care for you? But then he asks, why shouldn't I care for Beirut? 500,000 people there with some gospel access. And you know about the great explosion that was there this last week. Now, for an Arab country, there are a lot of Christians in Lebanon, and yet, as I understand it, 60% that are Muslim. Still, thousands and thousands, hundreds of thousands, just in Beirut alone, that need the Lord. I talked to Christine's dad, Pastor Musa, the other day, and I said, how you doing? And the first thing out of his mouth was, oh, we are hurting. I said, kind of like 9/11 for us? He said, yeah, kind of, but more people involved. You know, a whole city that's been devastated. And he said, you know, there's people that we know over there and of great concern, nobody personally, but people who know people, it's sort of like it was for us, 9/11. I found the closer we got to New York, the more we had concern. And that's the way that our brothers and sisters are from the Arabic church that meets here on Saturday nights. And the Lord says, aren't I concerned about them as well? I even care about their cats and dogs, the pets that they had, some of whom were lost. He says, I love those people. Why shouldn't I care for them as much as I care for you in York and in Lancaster County? But then he says, why shouldn't I care for the 4.5 billion people in what we call the 1040 window with no gospel access? This is defined in some latitudes and longitudes in this picture here up behind me. You see the red dots, that's where people have no gospel access. Where people or little to no gospel access, where there's no churches to go to, or if they are, they're very, very far and few between. And the Lord says, why shouldn't I care for these people who have no opportunity to know me, humanly speaking, at all? Why shouldn't I care for them and even their cats and their dogs? Why shouldn't I love them? Why shouldn't I care for them as much as I care for you? I created them just like I made you. I care about them. I care about their needs. I care that they come to know me and that they honor me like you do with their lives. You know, I have wondered in these times where we have had all these conflicts in the Arab world, I've wondered, will God use this time to bring thousands and thousands and thousands to himself? We know that Pastor Musa went over. He's an evangelist by gifting, and he went over and they saw unusual numbers of people come to himself in the Arab world. And why shouldn't he care? Why shouldn't we care? In verse 2 of that chapter,